our desire. That ought to be our desire. All right. We're looking in Colossians tonight. Anybody need a paper? If you can get a paper, I'll have one there. Hold your hand up if you need a paper. Right, Jake, would you get me a couple of papers there, right there beside you? And bring them up. Need five or six up here. Eight. Colossians chapter 1 is where we're at. We're going to look through the book of Colossians and then we'll look through the book of Ephesians. Right, the book of Colossians, then the book of Ephesians. That's where we'll be going. Of course, it won't all be tonight, but we'll get Ephesians next if you want to read ahead. Colossians takes you a little less than 20 minutes to read, and I did not give you a message today. I hope you remember to do your homework anyway. And right behind you, Jacob. Thank you, sir. And I think Butler needs one over on the side, too. All right. We go verse by verse, and we're going to try to go verse by verse and try not to go too fast, but not try to drag either. We got some things that we need to stress as we go through the scripture. Things that we need to grow and to be more aware of the Lord. The more we know the Lord, the better we'll be. And that's what all this is about, is knowing the Lord more and more. All right, if you got your papers, we finished up the first page there. It should have a date on the top of it, March the 19th. All right, Colossians. And we're going to do just a little bit of review, not much. All right, and then we'll get right on in. Is everybody okay? Anybody got anything to say? You have yourself now. All right, well, let's pray together, can we? Father, we come tonight, and Lord, we come trusting you, loving you, needing you above all. Lord, we're weak and unworthy, and Lord, we need our faith increased. We got many that's going through things now that their faith has to be increased. I ask that you would do that. Lord, I ask you to help those that sick, those who are discouraged, those where death has come. And then us who it seems like, Lord, we're trying, but we fail. Lord, help us not get discouraged. Help us to keep going and keep trying and keep living for you. You're worth everything that comes our way. And Lord, but we cannot do without you. We can't live this Christian life without you tonight. But we can't live without your word. We got to have your help. Lord, I pray that you strengthen each one for the things in the future that's coming upon people of tests and treatments. Lord, encourage and touch them and for surgeries. And then now tonight, as we open our mind and our heart, fill us, I pray, with what you want us to have, that we might grow the way you want us to grow. Cleanse my mind, my heart, touch me fresh, I ask. And please forgive me. I don't want nothing between me and you. And help me to teach tonight as you want me to, in Jesus' name, and amen. Colossians, as we told you last week, and you probably already know this, of course, that it's one of the prison epistles. Ephesians and Philippians and Philemon and Colossians are the prison epistles. And Colossians and Ephesians go hand in hand. I wouldn't say they're sister books, but it's like one rail of a train track and the other's on the other rail. That's Ephesians and Colossians. Of the 95 verses in Colossians, 78 of them are almost the same in Ephesians as they are in Colossians. And as Colossians is written, it's written to Gentiles. The majority of the people of Colossae were Gentiles. And there had been some false doctrine that had tried to creep into the church and in that area. So Epaphras, if you'll read there, Epaphras was the pastor. And he went to where Paul was at in Rome. If you read the rest of the scriptures out, he went to where Paul was in Rome and ended up being put in jail himself, undoubtedly for preaching. But he went to Paul for advice, and Paul sent back this letter to Colossae to straighten out some issues that was going on. And about 1,000 miles Epaphras went to get there. Now, that took some more, that took some traveling back in that day. And that's how big, bad the need was. And then while he was gone, Archippus was the pastor while Epaphras was gone. So you'll find all that as you read back and forth through the scripture, all right? Now, these some things that's not wrote down. You might want to write these down and then give you maybe some thoughts on some things. When you read the epistles, when you read down through there, from Romans on through, and each book has a theme, if you would. In Romans, and all of them, if you go back, I went back and was looking there. Like I told you last week, if you marked all the in Christ, of Christ, by Christ, through Christ, you almost have a solid line through Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Romans. There's so much that has in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, all that. So, Romans, we're justified in Christ. 1 Corinthians, we're enriched in Christ. All right. 2 Corinthians, we're comforted in Christ. Galatians, we're free in Christ. All right. Ephesians, we're quickened in Christ. Philippians, we're happy in Christ. He said, rejoice evermore. We're happy in Christ. Then Colossians, we're complete in Christ. And we'll see that through the scripture, that Christ is all we need. He's all in all. It's Christ plus nothing. When he gets saved, it's Christ plus nothing. It's not Christ plus baptism, Christ plus good works, Christ plus church membership. No, it's Christ and him alone to be saved. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is important. And we'll look later on about some of the false doctrine that was trying to come in to get people to believe other things. And so Paul addressed all of that in this letter, all right? So that's where we're at now. So you look at your second page there on the back of that. I think you should have two papers. So look on the back of the front page there. It should be the preeminence of the gospel. The preeminence of the gospel. Now, as Ephesians and Colossians are a railroad track, so is Romans and Galatians, Hebrews, Leviticus. These books go together. When you read them together, and you get more out of it. Everybody understand? Isaiah, Revelation, you'll get a lot out of reading both of them together. Okay? Everybody with me? So let's look here, the preeminence of the gospel. Now, when we talk about the preeminence, the preeminence of Christ, the authority, the first place, if you would. Preeminence means this. It signifies superiority or distinction and excellence. We have it written down here for you. Precedence or rank. The superiority of power or influence. Now, Christ is not a created being. One of the doctrines that was coming through in Colossae at that time, angel created angel, created an angel, created angel, then Christ was a created angel, and that's our thing. That's not true. Christ is God. Everybody understand? Jesus Christ is God. If he's not God, we're all going to hell. Everybody understand that? If Christ is not God, ain't nobody saved. All right? Because if he's not God, we don't have no Savior. All right? Understand that. So Jesus Christ is God. So let's look here, and we'll start reading, and we'll read a couple of verses here. The way I have your outline there for you on the paper, it should be fairly easy to follow. All right? So let's look at Colossians chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 1. And Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Now, we know this is just how they wrote the letters in, all right? Paul's stating that he's an apostle, not by choice, but by the will of God. He's stating his authority in writing the letter. He's stating his authority with the scripture, with the authority of the Lord to discipline, if discipline would be necessary, to teach, to guide, to preach. And that's how he starts out. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, one of the things that to be an apostle, and there are no modern day apostles, there are none, you had to see the resurrected Christ. That was one of the things. Now you have some people today that's on the TV and they are called apostles. Some denominations call their preachers apostles, but they are not. All right? They did not see the resurrected Lord. Paul saw him. He said, as one born out of due season. He saw him on the Damascus Road, and he is called an apostle because of that. He wasn't with the original ones that walk with Christ, but he did see the Lord on the Damascus Road. So he qualifies, all right? So, and then Timothy, Timotheus was there, his brother. He was with Paul. This is how they're getting the letter fixed up and sent. Tychius might have been one of the messengers, they say. I don't know. Might have been one of the ones that brought the letter while Epaphras was in jail. All right, so let's look now. Verse 2. To the saints, and this is what we want to look at very closely. It says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Now, God has separated there for you of what a saint is. All right, a saint is a holy one. We know we're supposed to be holy people. The Bible says for us, be holy as I am holy. That's what the Lord says. Be holy because I'm holy. We ought to live holy. Our conduct ought to be holy. All right, but it's the holy ones who separate. Look how it says it. You think about what a saint is. They're separated from sin unto the Savior. Now, there's a lot of times we speak about separation, about what you don't do. All right, well, that's good. There's a lot of things we shouldn't do. But then it says we're separated unto Christ, unto the Savior. There's a lot of things we ought to be doing. All right, so there's that's the key. You got things you ain't supposed to do, and then there's things you're supposed to be doing. And the scripture will let us know. But that's what you would classify a saint, a holy, someone living holy, living righteously, letting the righteousness of Christ rule in their heart, in their mind, living the way the scripture says, a saint. All right, and then it says the faithful brethren. Now I separated that there on your paper, and you might understand the brethren ought to be faithful. So he don't call them just brethren. He says, I'm writing this to the saints and the faithful brethren that's in Christ. It shouldn't be a problem for a saint to be a faithful brethren. It shouldn't be a problem. All right, can everybody agree to that? Huh? Those who are saved ought to be faithful. And the brethren is all of us believers. I'm glad we're a part of the family of God. We're in this thing together. We're part of the body, the church. There's no big I's or little U's. Everybody's the same. We may have different offices, may have different work, may have different responsibility, but there's nobody any better than the other. We be brethren. You know, we be brethren. Think about that. And to be a brethren, I'm also an heir. Paul's writing to people who is an heir and a joint heir. Do you believe that tonight? You complete him? Do you believe you're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that everything he has, you have? Think about that. Everything the Lord Jesus has, we have. We have our part. We have his part. We're an heir. That's my part. A joint heir is his part. So I've got everything that belongs to me and everything that belongs to him. That's a pretty good thing, ain't it?
Yeah.
Think about that. And then it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. And again, that's where we're at through this whole book, Ephesians and Colossians, in Christ. And when God looks at us, now, we preach Sunday morning, how lost I was, how saved I am. I'm in Christ. And when God looks at me, He don't see me as I am. He sees the righteousness of Christ. See, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. God can't look on me without the righteousness of Christ. I can't have fellowship without the righteousness of Christ. Everybody understand that? I can't have fellowship with the Father unless I have the Son. Well, it ain't just saying I have the Son, but it's I know the Son. I have the Son, and I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's where my righteousness is still filthy rags. But Christ's righteousness is perfect. Everybody understand that? And that's your position as a believer. Your position is in Christ. Everybody understand that? Talk to me. Your position is in Christ. If you're a believer, you're in Christ.
Yes.
You're not on the outside looking in. You're in Christ. That means the righteousness of Christ is on you. You're in Christ. You're hid with Christ in God. Think about that. All right? You're eternally saved.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
All right? Think about that, because it's the righteousness of Christ. Now, if it's our right, we don't have any. We don't have, if my right, now think about it, if my righteousness is filthy rags, what's my wrongs? How bad's that? If the best, if all my best is filthy rags, then my shortcomings is worse than that. Well, what could be worse than the pus-riddled rags that it's compared to that the lepers would wipe the pus that run off their bodies on? If that's the best I got, then my worst is worse. I can't imagine what would be worse than that. All right? So that's why I got to have Christ. That's why Christ came. That's why Christ died. That's why He becomes sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteous of Christ in Him. Think about that. All right? Everybody still with me? Verse 2 is where we're at. It says grace then. It says grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So He's given us a blessing. Blessing given, grace and peace. That's good that you can say that about somebody. I hope you have grace and peace. And it's from the Lord. And hope you have a good day. All right, they tell you all that to start with. Hope you're having a good day. Grace and peace. Have a great life. Have a great week. Just enjoy. That's what Paul's telling them. All right? Everybody still good? Now, when we look at verses 3, we're going to look at 3 through 8 here and kind of separate some things. We'll go 3 through 8 and then 9 through verse 14. And I want you to notice some things here. It says, we give thanks to God. Paul's thanking God, and he's telling them that he's thankful for them. See, it's okay to brag on people. It's okay to exalt people. It's okay to encourage me. He said, I sure do thank the Lord for you guys. All right? And I'm right there with Paul with y'all. All right? I sure do thank the Lord for y'all. I appreciate what you've done for me Sunday and honoring me the way you did. I appreciate that. 40 years of preaching and y'all got me. I didn't expect none of that. And Marcus and Rick and Tom and Bev and Tristan, some of them, I appreciate it. But in verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, he's telling him he's praying for him. Now he's going to tell him why he's praying for him. Why he's thankful. Why he's thankful. And I believe we ought to think about this, that we might live this way, that others are thankful for us. How about that? Let's look at verse 4. It says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. All right? He was thankful for their faith. Now, it wasn't just that they were saved. It wasn't just that they were saved, but they was living it. Everybody understand? When he wrote to the people there at the church, they were living it. Their faith in Christ. Not just getting saved. Can I tell you, there's more to it than just getting saved. There's a life to live. A whole life to live. And that life, the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what Paul said. And he said, I'm thanking God because of your faith in Christ Jesus. Everybody understand it? They were showing it. They had the doing kind of a faith. All right? And then it says, and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Their love in the spirit, if you would. And you can't love without the Lord, but they loved the brethren. But it wasn't just, I love you, but it's the love that they were showing. They was living the faith. And the church of Colossae were showing their faith in that they were sacrificing, they were giving, they were encouraging. That's what we're supposed to be doing. See, there's a lot in this. When we talk about being in Christ, it ain't like, we're not talking about going to church. We're talking about being in Christ. Everybody understand that? All right? So that's what he's thanking the Lord that that's the way they are. Verse 5 then says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. He's thanking the Lord that they're thinking about going to heaven. Can I tell you that everybody says they're saved don't seem to be too happy about it? That's the truth. I don't understand that. Why would anybody want to stay here? You know? I mean, I'm ready any time. But can I tell you that there's some people that got their tent pegs just hammered in too tight. And they would rather stay here and complain, I reckon, because that's what they do while they're here. But they're too caught up in the world. Too caught up in the world to want to see Jesus. All right? But he's thanking the Lord that they got the hope of heaven. They knew they had an eternal home, and he was tickled about it. And it says here, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, Epaphras had done been teaching them. They didn't just know this because of the letter that Paul writes to Colossae, but their pastor was already telling them. Epaphras was already telling and teaching them, and they was happy about that. We okay? Do we understand? Now, then it goes on verse 6. It says, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringing forth fruit. Now, the truth of the gospel that we hear here today in Mountain State is no different than the truth of the gospel that was preached to Colossae. It's the same gospel. And that gospel brings forth fruit. Everybody understand that? And it brings forth fruit in us. We are able to bring forth fruit. What did we teach here a while back? That we be fruitful? Huh? That we have fruit that remains? Remember the lessons on that? Talk to me tonight. Right? It says, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Can I tell you, truth will bring forth fruit. It will. Truth. You know truth, and then the truth work in you. Does everybody understand that? It's got to work in you. If you know something's true and don't do nothing with it now, it may not do much. We still okay? And then verse 7, as you also learned of Epaphras, that's what I was saying there, the word of the truth of the gospel, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now, the reason that Paul told him how thankful he was, he didn't know what all was going on till Epaphras told him. That's what they're saying there. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Everybody, we still okay?
Yes.
Now, let's look at verse 9. Verse 9. Now, for this cause, Now, we have on the third paper, we bring your attention to that prayer for this cause. Because of how they were living, then Paul's prayer goes even deeper. All right? And some of this goes hand in hand with what Dennis taught us there the last 4 weeks about being filled with the Spirit and being led of the Spirit and guided by the Spirit, taught of the Spirit, of how the Holy Spirit works in our life. And some of these things are evidences maybe of being filled with the Spirit. Evidences in our life that we can use. All right, so let's look at this. Verse 9. All right, am I going too fast, talking too fast for anybody? We all right?
No.
All right. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, that ought to be my prayer for you. That ought to be your prayer for me. That ought to be our prayer for the churches around us, for every believer, that we be filled with the knowledge of His will. Can I tell you, we ain't going to do much if we stay out of His will. We need to be in the will of God. All right? But it says here, in all wisdom. All right? He was praying for their spiritual wisdom, their understanding. I'm afraid we're forgetting the spiritual part of our relationship with Christ. We got the mechanics down. We know the mechanics of being a Christian. We know to pray. We know to read our Bible. We know to sing. We know certain things to say amen to. We know the right places to agree, the right time to say things. We got the mechanics down. But the spirituality of people today is dead. Dead as a hammer. Right? And that, I believe, is something that we need to pray for here, is the wisdom and spiritual understanding of the Scripture. I don't know if we apply the Scripture spiritually. We're still trying to do the mechanics of it. We can't do it. It's got to be by the power of the Holy Ghost that we do anything. I can't pray without the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't study without the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Ghost. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. That's not, it may be included, but that's not what it is. It's the spiritual walk with Christ, that relationship, that where you don't have to say a word, but yet the love is there, where the communion is there, the fellowship's there, the spirituality. God is a Spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and truth. Are you following me tonight? And Paul's praying for that, their spiritual wisdom here in verse 9. Verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord. He's praying for their spiritual wisdom and their spiritual walk. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Man, that's something, ain't it? Let me ask you, don't answer out loud, but let me ask you, do you feel like you're walking worthy of the Lord? We ought to be. Some of us have been in this thing a long time. We don't have an excuse not to walk worthy of the Lord. A young Christian, they don't know how to walk. A baby don't know how to walk. And when they start walking, they wobble, stumble, right? But I think we all got dementia. We forgot how to walk. We stumble now. We're old enough. We ought not be stumbling. Huh? We ought to be further down the road. Listen, if you've been saved 20 years, you ought to be further down the road. There ought to be some maturity somewhere. Okay? Our spiritual walk, it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Are we fruitful? Are we? Are you a fruitful Christian? You think about it. Are you a fruitful follower tonight? Are you bringing forth fruit? Paul's praying. He's praying for the Gentiles here. That'd be us. Huh? It says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you increasing? Our theme this year is coming fully alive in 25. Are you coming fully alive? Let me ask you. Are you coming fully alive? Here we are already getting ready to start the fourth month of the year. All right, we're already a quarter gone. Have you come fully alive yet? Or are you going to wait till the 25th of December after Christmas? Get it in there then. Think about that. Do this question. Verse 11 says, strengthen with all might. He's wanting them to, according to His glorious power. So Paul's praying that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will, have wisdom and spiritual understanding. They might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful, strengthened with all might according to His power. Their spiritual power. Everybody still with me? Spiritual power. All that goes with what Dennis taught us. Right? Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. I wrote some things down there. Patience is facing trials without giving up to despair. You got patience? Talk to me. Well, you know that patience is a gift of the Holy Ghost. You know these are gifts. You know that you have it. You just may not pull it out and use it. You know? There's times I don't have no money in my pocket. All right, that's what I think. But I've had a $2 bill folded up in my billfold for 30 years. So I'm never completely broke, but I'm not going to use that $2 bill. Everybody understand that? I just ain't going to use it. I'm going to keep it. And we got patience. We just going to keep it. All right? Facing trials without giving up to it. Then it says long suffering. Facing trials without giving in to anger. Are you long suffering with people? Yeah. And then look at the joyfulness. Facing trials without giving in to depression. Do you understand tonight that these epistles are teaching us how to live? Huh? He ain't scolding. He's not scolding the church of Colossae. He ain't scolding them. He's bragging on them because of what they had, and then I'm praying for you that you have this. Huh? Tonight, I'm not scolding us either. I'm bragging on you because of what you got and praying for you for what we need, right? Are we still okay? Think about that. And then, look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of life. Man, he's praying that we be thankful. Have you noticed what Rick has told us? I don't know, he's probably told us a dozen times or more in the last 3 months in Sunday school. He said, I think maybe I just need to be more thankful. Have you heard him say that? I think maybe I just need to be more thankful. I think maybe I just need to be more thankful. I think maybe I just need to be more thankful. Huh? Well, maybe that's what Paul's trying to tell the church of Colossae here, and he's telling it us too, that maybe we ought to just be a little bit more thankful, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Now, again, I got wrote down there, don't miss verse 9. Now, for this cause, because of all the bragging in verses 3 through 8, I'm praying for you in these other verses. Everybody understand what I'm saying? For this cause, there's a reason, because they had it in them. Can I tell you tonight, we got it in us if we'll just go ahead and use it. We got it in us. We know we got it. But boy, we just don't. I don't know whether we don't enjoy it or don't act like it or we don't understand how much we got. Huh? Now, that's the preeminence of Christ as the gospel message, the message to the church of Colossae. Christ is the center of all that. Now, when we look at verse 13, the preeminence of Christ in redemption. And I want to look at this. If you notice my mistake, I got Colossians 1:14-14. That's 14 through 14. I want to read the whole verse already. But verse 13, it says, "Who hath delivered us?" Now, we're giving thanks unto the Father. Is everybody with me? Verse 12. Look at verse 13. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." They were rescued of the Father. Who had delivered it? I think of the song Trista sings, "He Rescued Me." It's one of my favorite songs. And I've loved it ever since the first time I heard it back 30-some year ago. She was just a teenager singing for me up at Carl. And she was singing, "Rescue Me." And we just had her keep singing it over and over and over. And but "Who hath delivered us?" I'm giving thanks. I'm a partaker of the inheritance of the saints of light. Are you a partaker tonight? Are y'all in this thing or not? Huh? "Who hath delivered us?" Man, I'll be thankful He delivered me. He rescued me from the power of darkness. Huh? Think about that. He delivered me. I'm not in the dark no more. I'm in the light. In fact, I am light. In fact, in Ephesians, it'll tell me that I was sometimes darkness. I wasn't in it, but I was darkness. But now I'm in the light. I am the light. He said, "I'm the light of the world." I'm in the light. Man, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Do you understand that I am already there as far as God's concerned? Do you know that I'm already, I am so saved. Hear me tonight. How lost I was, how saved I am. I am so saved tonight. And if you're a believer, you're just as saved, this much saved, that as far as God's concerned, you're already with Him. And you say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, that's how saved you are. That's why we ought to be so thankful. Because that ain't going to change. God can't change His mind like that. He can't go back on His word. It says, "And hath." Hath is past. Is past. He hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Listen, I'm in. What is it? How you say it, Rick? I'm in like Flynn. Is that how you say it? That's the way I am. Does everybody understand that? I'm in Christ. And then look at verse 14. It says, "In whom we have redemption." I'm rescued by the Father and I'm ransomed by the Son. Huh? "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins." Huh? Is that not wonderful? He redeemed us from the slavery to sin, to Satan, to self, to separation from the Father. The cost was His blood. Then He forgave me. He paid my debt. Huh? Think about it. He ransomed me. He paid my debt. I'm no longer guilty. Are you hearing me tonight? If you're a believer, you're no longer guilty. You were, but you're no longer guilty. Don't care what you've done. Don't care where you've been. Don't care what you've been involved in. When God sees you, you're no longer guilty. For Christ paid it. Think about that. That's how saved you are. Huh? Now, I got this wrote down there because I want to make sure everybody understands. Sometimes we get our doctrine from songs. And it's not true. And that's why I have that last paragraph wrote down there. All right? When Christ paid my debt, He didn't pay Satan off. Everybody understand that? Satan is a created being, has no authority other than what he's been given. He's a nothing and a nobody, going to hell as an enemy. He's my enemy. He's God's enemy. He gets no glory from me. I won't even capitalize his name on paper. Huh? Every book I read capitalizes his name. My computer, I fight it all the time. It tries to change it, and I fight it. I'm not going to capitalize his name. I'm not going to give him glory in no way, shape, or form. I'm not going to do it. Huh? But when Christ paid the sin debt, he didn't pay it to Satan. Now, you're Seventh-day Adventist. All right? Now, I know they may be good people, and I know that they pray over you when they doctor you, and that's all well and fine. I'm not saying nothing about none of that. But they believe that God and Jesus and Satan are all for deliberating and deciding who's going to be saved and who ain't. That's what they believe. That's their doctrine. And that's about as dumb as you can get. I'm sorry. Okay? And I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm going to stand on what's right. Okay? Everybody understand me? So Christ didn't bring the blood and say, "Here, Satan, I'm going to redeem him boys." No. It was between Christ and God, because our sin separated us from God. And Christ came between me and God and took my blame and took my sin. And God saved me for Christ's sake. He forgave me for Christ's sake. Satan's not involved in none of that. Satan don't damn a soul. You don't go to hell and be with Satan. That's nowhere in the Scripture. He's not running hell. He's not stoking the fires in hell. He's going to hell himself. Anybody understand that? Hear me. That's what the Scripture teaches. All right? Everybody all right with that? And just to show you, turn over to Isaiah 53. I'm not trying to upset nobody, but some of the songs, we need to pay attention to some of the songs we sing. They may sound good and rhyme, but they're not scriptural. Isaiah 53 said in verse 10, and we know the Scripture speaking of the crucifixion and Christ and what He done. He has bore our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, verse 5. We like sheep was turned away, verse 6. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of His all shows. It's talking about Christ. Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son. The transaction of salvation was between Christ and the Father. Not Christ and the devil. Everybody understand that? Huh? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. The Father was satisfied when the Son died on Calvary. He satisfied the debt. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Christ became my sin for me, that I might have His righteousness. And the deal is between God and the Son. And Ephesians chapter 4 will tell me that I'm forgiven for Christ's sake. I'm not forgiven for my sake. I'm not forgiven because I deserve it. I'm not forgiven because I'm doing good. I'm forgiven because Christ stood between me and the Father and took the wrath, and I'm saved from the wrath to come because I have the Son, Jesus Christ. That's how saved I am tonight. Huh? Think about that. It's on Christ. And I'll stop right there. We'll stop on a high note.